Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
In most cases, we really can't be silent very long without feeling kind of awkward, can we? Actually, in most situations, they'll say that it takes about 15 seconds of communal silence before a congregation or a group of people is like, this is kind of uncomfortable, this is a little bit awkward, can you do something about this speaker? That would be great. There's like this wells up an urge, a desire within us to say something, to do something. Or perhaps in this situation, you were like, how long will this pastor keep us trapped in this deafening silence? Silence. It both makes us uncomfortable, and yet, if we're honest, I think it's something that we probably all seek out and want on a certain level. I mean, think about how many people now buy noise-canceling headphones just so you can sit in silence. We live with lots of noise, don't we? I know there are parents and toddlers in this room right now saying amen in your hearts. But we may not always be aware of it, but the effects of noise in our lives has some serious side effects, even if we've grown accustomed to it. The World Health Organization in 2011 tried to quantify the health burden of noise on Europe. And they concluded that of the 340 million residents of Western Europe annually lost a million years of healthy life because of noise. It even argued that 3,000 heart disease deaths were, at their root, the result of excessive noise. And now we may not always realize the way that noise has effects on us, but noise is really part of our lives. Be it car noise, the radio on, kids running around the house, the TV on at the house, fireworks this week. In fact, silence is such a hot commodity these days that the entire country of Finland made an ad campaign totally based on silence. They had these pictures of people sitting in the beautiful Finnish countryside with just the caption, silence, please. That was it. Then with a link to their tourism board. And it worked. People started coming to Finland because they were like, it's so quiet up there. How great. Research has even shown that during extended periods of silence, our brains, believe it or not, become more alert and even develop memory cells in the hippocampus. In other words, there's this thing about when we're not constantly taking in information, when we're not constantly thinking or talking or listening, our brains begin to work differently. They generate new cells. Our brains work differently and act differently than when we're silent than when we're hearing things. I think this is why throughout Scripture we find that God frequently speaks in silence. The psalm we read earlier says that for God alone my soul waits in silence. As we read in Mark earlier, we find Jesus going off to his deserted place to pray. He went so far off that it said the disciples had to hunt for him. I don't know how far off into the wilderness he was, but I just love it because GPS wasn't invented yet. He didn't have like a smartphone they could just track down. So they were to look all over the place for Jesus. Even Jesus sought to be in silence as he fostered and nurtured a relationship with the Father. And this isn't the only example of this. Throughout Jesus' ministry, we find him over and over again retreating from the crowds, be it by himself or be it with maybe a few of his disciples. And it's probably easy to miss this. I know I miss it whenever I read Scripture because even the way our Bible's written can sometimes belittle this fact. I was reading this in the NRSV version that we read earlier, and it was really interesting because whenever I read the section heading that some editor has written as the section heading for this section of Scripture, it doesn't read, Jesus went off to a deserted place to pray. It actually reads, a preaching tour in Galilee. In other words, don't worry about the first part of this section. The part you need to worry about with Jesus is that he was preaching and doing things. That's what matters, right? Don't focus on this whole Jesus retreated from his ministry, retreated to go and care for himself in his spiritual life and development. Even Jesus took time out of his most important ministry to retreat and be in conversation with the Father. Jesus sought out and found time of intimacy to be in silence and prayer. Yes, this is yet another sermon on prayer. And at its core, prayer is simply communicating with God. We can do this verbally by outwardly expressing our prayers. We can do this silently throughout our day by lifting up our prayers to God. But it can be really easy for, if you're like me, to get our prayers locked into a certain kind of pattern. From a young age, I was taught to pray something like this. Maybe you might think of it of the Acts prayer. It's kind of similar to that. You'd start off by being thankful, being in adoration for who God is. You would confess any sins that you have, anything that you've done wrong before God. But a lot of the prayer would be petitions and supplications, right? You'd be like naming the people to pray for. And I can remember as a child being like, I have to remember all of the people who I need to pray for, otherwise they're going to miss out on my prayer, and that's going to be a big deal. So I'd feel guilty about it. So I'd like have a running list in my head, and then I'd forget and have to go back and name that person. And it's a beautiful kind of prayer. It's a really important kind of prayer. It's the kind of prayer that I think many of us associate with prayer. It's actively taking a moment and thinking about things we need to pray for. But it's only one kind of prayer. It's an active posture where our minds are thinking and doing, and as remember those things in those places where we ask God to be present, to heal and redeem and to save. But then after this time of prayer, it's like whenever after we've hung up, of course, by saying amen, we go about our day and life continues. And this is a beautiful and important part of prayer, but it's only part of the story. It's only part of the story of the way that we can engage God. There's a story told of a learned professor who went to visit an old monk who was famous for his wisdom. And the monk graciously welcomed him into his temple, offered him a seat on a cushion. No sooner had the professor sat down than he launched into a long, wordy account of his own accomplishments, his own knowledge, his own theories, how wonderful he was, and all of his opinions. The monk listened quietly for a while and then asked politely, would you like some tea? The professor nodded and smiled and kept on talking. The monk handed him a teacup and began pouring tea from a large pot. The tea rose to the brim of the cup, but the monk kept right on pouring while the professor kept on talking. Finally, the professor noticed what was going on, leapt to his feet, and demanded, what are you doing? Can't you see that the cup is overflowing? To which the monk replied, this cup is like your mind. It can't take in anything new because it's already full. When we come to prayer, when we come to God in prayer, we sometimes come so full that we're not ready to receive anything from God. We're so full of things to say, we're so full of things to tell God and to speak, that we rarely perhaps take the time to simply listen in the quietness of our hearts. Because if we're not doing something, we're quick to get restless, move on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing after that. We're people on the go, right? We're always got something else. For me, the seasons of prayer, when it feels like my relationship with God is lacking, whenever it's dry, whenever I feel empty, is frequently whenever I've been doing so much of the talking that I'm not doing a whole lot of the listening. Mother Teresa writes this about prayer. In the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you. Then you will know that you are nothing. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence. At its core, prayer is an intimate moment between God and us. And to come before an infinite God is not something to take lightly. And sometimes it's just easier to fill the silence with all of our stuff than sit before the immensity of a God who created the universe and who comes and meets us right where we are, who calls us by name. prayer and intimacy with God requires we give up any pretense about ourselves and how we want our relationship with God to be. When we come to God and listen, we don't get to control God. We can simply come and listen and be. At the core of prayer, at the core of sitting in silence and hearing God speak is trust. When we learn to trust that God does indeed love us as we are, then our prayers begin to change from us asking God to do things and instead allowing God's grace to wash over us. As Brennan Manning writes about experiencing God in prayer, the Holy Spirit moves us from the head to the heart, from intellectual cognition to experiential awareness. An inward stillness pervades our being, and the time of prayer is characterized by less rational reflection and speaking and more contemplative quiet and listening. See, when we sit before the immensity of God and listen, our brains start working differently. I think we become more attuned to the experience of the divine right here with us. See, we find that when God speaks to us, it connects to those deepest desires, those desires that are ultimately found in God. Last week, we ended our time by considering what do we desire and then telling God about these desires. What are the deepest, what are these desires within us? Be they big or small? And we tell these desires so that God can hear them, but then we listen to God so that God could speak to us through them. Maybe your desires is for healing for a loved one or for children to be cared for or for a way out of a job that feels soul-sucking. The rhythm of giving our desires to God must also include a time for God to speak back to us about those desires so that we can offer them to Him. We do this by intentional times of listening in prayer. This happens in silence before God, silence where our brain can be particularly active and attuned to hear God's voice. Be it by bringing up a memory or a person or a feeling or a scripture verse. But don't think it has to be picture perfect. Sometimes I'll read books about the spiritual practices, and you kind of feel like you have to have a part-time job of committing to like an hour a day of sitting in silence, reading scripture, and being before God so that you can take a really cool Instagram photo and post it. It doesn't always have to be that way. It doesn't always have to be picture perfect. Sometimes, if you can find that, even just a small moment of prayer and then silence for a few seconds afterward to allow God to speak to you. If you can find a long period, that's wonderful. But it doesn't always work that way. Because listening for you might be a short moment of silence, maybe in the car, asking God to speak to you in that time. It might mean listening for God's voice on a walk. It might mean carving out a time at work just to step out and to hear God speak. I've recently discovered the prayer room here at church downstairs. Guess what? You do not get Wi-Fi coverage or cell phone coverage in the prayer room. It is awesome. Figure out what works for you in this season of life as a rhythm of prayer, as a rhythm of silence and contemplation before God. Even Jesus, who finally got away for prayer, was eventually found by his disciples, and then, yep, he had to get up and keep on preaching and doing what he does. So you might, how can this work? And one way that I prefer to do is just to begin with a short passage of Scripture. Maybe then a verbalized spoken prayer, and then an invitation for God to speak. Maybe look back over the Scripture again and see if anything draws that God speaks to you from that. Sometimes I'll come and I'll set a timer on my watch because I don't really know how long the silence has been, and just sit there, and then you realize it's only been like a minute, even though it feels like five. Another way to do this is to take a word and go before God in silence and keep bringing up a certain word like grace or love or peace or abide. And allow God to speak to you through that word. And if you're not sure where to start, you could also just simply begin with a prayer. Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. And that can be it. And then sit and wait and reflect and see what God might bring to mind, what God might speak to you in those moments. But y'all, it all starts with intentionality. We don't grow without intentionality. We won't discover the deepest desires of our hearts without intentionality. So friends, let us listen for that still, small voice that cuts through the noise. The voice that knows us, the voice that cries out our name and says that we are loved. The shepherd who leads us to those deepest desires. So friends, the invitation today is to talk less and listen more. Listen more for that voice of God. And by listening, learn to cultivate a relationship with a God who is always speaking and always desires a deeper relationship with you each and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.